So, do you have a favorite passage of scripture that's near and dear to your heart? Maybe it's one about hope, you know, when you're in times of despair. Or maybe it is a scripture passage about comfort when you have suffered a great loss. Well, I have a favorite one, and I just read it. It is the prologue of John, which describes the first Christmas story. When God breaks through into creation, leaving a divine imprint on all created matter. Now, John refers to this divine imprint as the Logos, which is commonly translated as the Word. Now, last week on December 25th, we celebrated the second Christmas story, narrated from the Gospel of Luke. The second Christmas story is how about the divine word entered into human history through a brown Jewish baby of Middle Eastern origin, born of a yet-to-be-married couple. I hope you had a beautiful Christmas, because this is the season which engages the whole world in a conspiracy of love. And from his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. Today, however, our focus is on the first Christmas story. In this story, there's no baby, no manger, no Bethlehem, no Mary and Joseph, no shepherds. Instead, this story takes place at the very beginning, even before the beginning of time. When the Big Bang finally unleashed its energy some 13 billion years ago, God revealed God's self through the physical realm. And by this time, God no longer remained a total mystery, but instead chose to reveal God's essence through creation. This means, it's really important. If you don't hear anything else, this is what it means. It means that God's word, God's imprint, God's DNA, God's wisdom, God's light, God's love is embedded in everything that has been created, including you and me. And as a result of having this divine imprint within, we can love one another as generously as God loves us. Now, the good news is that God's word is not limited to Jesus or the Holy Scriptures or only to those places which religion has deemed sacred. If we want to connect with God, we don't have to look outside somewhere. Or above, or in a church, or even in the sacraments, we simply need to recognize the light of Christ shining within each person, each creature, each molecule of matter. And this is what the fullness of the incarnation is all about. Spirit and the physical matter are not in opposition, but are united, and both have intrinsic value. So, as John would say, all things came into being through this word. And without this word, not one thing came into being. Wow. Now, this word of God, has been spoken through the prophets for centuries and through nature, through all of its miracles. It's spoken through the creatures of the earth if we would only listen. And one of the ways I hear the word of God in modern times is not only through the scriptures and through the Spirit, but also through those people of wisdom who have decided to choose love over fear. And so over the year, 12 months, I collect all these wisdom sayings and then I collate them. And then I share them with the congregation. And so you're going to get just a smattering of some of these wisdom sayings. The first group, and I put them in groupings, is on healing, because today we're going to have a healing service. Now remember that salvation comes from the word salve, which means to heal. And the whole purpose of this Christian journey is to heal in such a way that we become whole and we become the people that God created us to be. So here goes. To heal a wound, you need to stop touching it. And if you've never healed from what hurt you, you'll bleed on the people that didn't cut you. Now, for those of you who have lost somebody, the hardest part of healing after you've lost someone whom you've loved is to recover the you that went away with them when they died. Being negative only makes a journey more difficult. You may have been given a cactus, but you don't have to sit on it. I like that one. Maybe she's been given a couple of cactuses. I don't know. Maturity is working through your trauma and not using it as a never-ending excuse for poor behavior. Now, don't waste your time in anger, regrets, worries, and grudges, because life is just too short to be unhappy. Sometimes you have to let go of the picture of what you thought life would be like and learn to find joy in the story you're living now. So who's the most influential person in your life? Here's some wisdom. The most influential person in your life is the one you refuse to forgive. Healing is necessary so you can hear what's being said without the filter of your wound. Look forward with hope, not back with regret. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Shame dies when your stories are told in safe places. And finally, from this section, you are not the darkness you endured. You are the light that refused to surrender. Here's about worry and fear. Worry's a real bad actor, isn't it? Yep. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things God can change. Fear does not stop death. It stops life. And worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. Instead, it takes away today's peace. And if you can't do anything about stuff, then just let it go. Don't be a prisoner to things you can't change. Or as the Dalai Lama says, if it's fixable, no need to worry. If it's not fixable, also no need to worry. And don't worry if people don't like you. Most people are struggling to like themselves. Don't be afraid of death. Be afraid of an unlived life. And finally, no amount of regret changes the past. No amount of anxiety changes the future. But any amount of gratitude changes the present. Here's some on spiritual growth. The most important spiritual growth doesn't happen when you're meditating or on a yoga mat. It happens in the midst of conflict, when you're frustrated and angry and scared, and you're doing the same old thing, and then suddenly you realize you have a choice to do it differently. The greatest need of our time is to clean out the enormous mass of mental and emotional rubbish that clutters our minds. People change for two reasons. Either their minds have been opened or their hearts have been broken. This is how you pray continually. You know, we're supposed to be praying continually. We do this not by offering prayers in words, but by joining yourself to God through your whole way of life, so that your life becomes the continuous and uninterrupted prayer. Forgiveness is the process where we can heal the hurts we don't deserve. Forgiveness is freeing ourselves from a straitjacket of resentment and rage that destroys relationships and robs us of joy. Now, the next grouping is some practical advice. Life is like a camera. Focus on what is important, capture the good times, develop from the negatives, and if things don't work out, take another shot. Stop being offended by Facebook posts, by a piece of art, or by people displaying affection or what someone else said about you. Be offended by war, poverty, greed, and injustice. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow. Ships don't sink because there's water around them. Ships sink because the water that gets into them. So don't let what's happening around you get inside you and weigh you down. The best revenge is none. Heal, move on, and don't become like those who hurt you. The world that you see is created by what you focus on. It's never too late to adjust your focus. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And speaking about truth, most people really don't want the truth. They just want constant reassurance that what they believe is the truth. It's for all of us. Okay, here's about church and religion. The church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon the ship, but to keep her on her course. The prophetic tasks of the church are to tell the truth in a society that lives in illusion, grieve in a society that practices denial, and express hope in a society that lives in despair. You know, folks, we have an obligation to cultivate hope. Okay, now I know you're looking for a pastor, so I'm going to give you a couple of wisdom tips about that. The role of the pastor is not to grow a big church. The pastor's role is to grow mature disciples who make disciples. A pastor must have the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the skin of a rhinoceros. No. I could write a whole sermon on that, but I'll spare you. We desperately need to explore how much of our understanding of the gospel is American and how much of our understanding of the gospel is biblical. Each one of us is an innkeeper who decides if there is room for Christ. If everything around seems dark, look again. You may be the light. Next grouping is on love, right? Jesus showed us the path of love. Love is never wasted, for its value does not rest on reciprocity. When given the choice between being right or being kind, choose being kind and you will always be right. This next one's from the Dalai Lama. He has some great wisdom. People were created to be loved and things were created to be used. The reason why the world is in such chaos is because things are being loved and people are being used. Always leave people better than you found them. Hug the hurt, kiss the broken, befriend the lost. And do your little bit of good wherever you are. It's those little bits of goodness put together that overwhelm the world. Jesus said, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Almost done. Hang in there. So this is a wisdom from a dog. I just love dogs. And you know, they have so much happiness and love that we can learn a little bit from them, right? So here's some advice from a dog. When your loved ones come home, always run to greet them. Never pass up the opportunity to go for a joyride. Allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Take naps. Stretch before rising. Run, romp, and play daily. Thrive on attention and let people touch you. Avoid biting when a simple growl will do. On warm days, stop to lie on your back and on the grass. And on hot days, drink lots of water and lie under the shady tree. When you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. Be faithful. Never pretend to be something you're not. If what you want lies buried, dig until you find it. And when someone's having a hard day, be silent. Sit close by and nuzzle them gently. And so I would like to end with a blessing I came across, which you probably have heard before. My brothers and sisters in Christ, life is short, and we never have too much time for gladdening the hearts of those who travel this long, dark journey with us. So be swift to love, haste to be kind, and go in peace to love and serve the Lord.